I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Peter makes it very clear. There's only one way of salvation. Not two or three, not many. One. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. Now, please give attention to these words. And there is salvation in no one else. No one else. And then he goes on. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given us among men by which we must be saved. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, essentially says the same thing. And in chapter 3 of Colossians, in verse 11, he ends with these words, but Christ is all and in all. That's a categorical summary statement of the all-sufficiency of Christ. Such language does not leave room for doubt. Multitudes have been deceived about their salvation. They've been deceived into believing that salvation can be obtained apart from the person and work of Christ. Paul lived in a day in which there were very prominent common errors regarding salvation. They're with us today. For example, the Jews placed great confidence in their heritage. They were of the seed of Abraham. They had confidence in what I'm going to call national privilege. Then there were those who placed their confidence in the ceremonial rite of circumcision. And some were Jews and some were proselytes. And there was a time when circumcision was, in fact, a necessary ordinance. It was outward religious observance. But it was meaningless apart from its spiritual significance. And that is very important for us, dear people, at all times in our own personal Bible reading, our own personal worship, our corporate worship. Where is the spiritual element? Where is the spiritual significance? How much did that last hymn we sang? Grip your heart. Or did we just sing it? Because it's the third hymn in our order of worship. than there were the Greeks. They took great, great pride in their learning and their human efforts, their achievements. Well, the apostle has set it forth very clearly in three words. Christ is all. Not almost, not a good portion of. Christ is A-L. And those words, three words, refute whatever the Jews promised themselves from their racial stock and lineage. Over the top in blazing letters, Christ is all. Whatever the proselytes promised themselves from their ceremonial circumcision, Paul would come along and say, Christ is all. Whatever the Greeks promised themselves from their academics, Christ is all. And whatever the world promises itself based on so-called good works, well, Paul says, Christ is all. Earlier we mentioned these four errors prevalent in Paul's day. But I submit to you this morning that those same errors are prevalent in our day. Most error that exists at any time has always existed as far back as you probably can trace it. Usually under a different name, but adds up to the same old error. Now, as the Jews place confidence in their lineage, so there are those in our day who place great confidence in the fact, I was born in a Christian home. Well, that's wonderful. And you can thank God for that. But you see, that's by itself, it's placing confidence in one's lineage and bloodlines, and allowing yourself somehow to think that it assures you being a part of the Christian community just because you were born in a Christian home. No. In Paul's day, there were those who had great confidence that even in the external sign of circumcision. In our day, there are those who think because they have complied with some outward response to the gospel, decision, baptism, membership, whatever, they put a great deal of confidence in that rather than their own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In our day, there are those who think we just need more learning and more education, and that'll take care of all of the maladies of our day. Oh, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., one time, used an illustration that I think is interesting. He said, you know, He says, you take a man that steals a watermelon off of the train and give him an education, and he'll steal the train. And that's pretty true. Education is not the answer. It's necessary, and it's helpful, and it's good, but it has its place. And its place is not the saving of your soul. Finally, the world in general, during the apostolic age, believed that those who were noble and good would surely find a place in heaven, and multitudes in our day believe the same thing. It comes under different brand names. The bottom line is Christ is all. Christ is all. The sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of Christ. In what ways, then, can we view Christ this today as we sit here? We're sitting here, the table, the communion table has been prepared, and we're focusing on that through the word preached, so that when we do partake of the elements, it's done with a proper inward focus on your relationship to the all-sufficient Christ. Let's think of some ways in which Christ is all-sufficient. And the first one I have named is simply this. Christ is all-sufficient in that he has forever delivered the believer from any and all obstacles which could hinder his final salvation. What a glorious truth that is. Because there are many obstacles between here and heaven. Christ has delivered us. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's the sufficiency of Christ. What obstacles lay in the way between here and heaven's shore? We don't know. But whatever they are, they're under the feet of an all-sufficient Savior. Delivered from the wrath to come? Yes. How could that be? How could there be this deliverance from the wrath to come? I submit to you, dear people, the only way for the wrath of God to be removed from the sinner is for the penalty of sin to have been fully paid. There's no other way. And unless that has happened, and unless God has, by the work of his Holy Spirit, through his word, made that a reality in your heart and life, you don't know anything much about the all-sufficiency of Christ. And my purpose this morning is to get you to think about that in anticipation of coming to the Lord's table in just a few moments. We see the all-sufficiency of Christ in many ways. We see it in the life that he lived. Nothing like him in his life. Think of it this way. The life he lived qualified him for the death that he died. A death in which he bore the full wrath of God. in behalf of those whom he came to save. What else could stand in our way between here and glory? Satan, the arch enemy, the great enemy of our soul, the one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Christ is all sufficient to deliver us from the wiles of Satan. Christ is all-sufficient in that he has delivered his people from the onslaught and the influence of the world. And you know, dear people, surely you're aware, I know you are, of the condition of the world in which we live today. I've never seen the depth of depravity. In my lifetime. And just in case you might want to know, I'm 87. So I've been around a little bit. And I have a way of looking back into days in which I lived in my high school days. And you begin to compare that with today. And I'm going to be very just blunt and honest with you folks today. We live in a godless society in which nudity is being paraded around, leaving nothing to the imagination. I'm appalled. What about the world? The world's influence is extremely subtle. And I want to explain just a little bit about what I mean. The world is constantly shifting to the left. A little bit, and a little bit. And what happens is nominal Christianity, whoever, comes along and occupies the place that the world occupied a year ago and boasts of the fact, we're not of the world. That's the world over there. And here they are taking the place of the world as it was 6 months, a year ago. And so they point eagerly and say, no, that's the world over there. We're okay. And they're as taking on those qualities that the world had manifested so much earlier. Christ delivers. Christ has a standard of righteousness. And it doesn't shift to the left. Next, we see that Christ is all sufficient in delivering the believer positively. Christ delivers his people, fills their soul with all that which is good, and thus enables them to experience true joy and happiness in this life on the way to heaven. Now, it's interesting. Even in this present life, and I want you to listen carefully to this. In this present life, there must be a suitableness and harmony between the soul and heavenly mercies, before one can experience the blessings of God. He said, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What is that talk? Daddy. Listen carefully. The Sabbath is to be a delight to the children of God. To those who are yet outside of Christ, if they know anything about it and even attempt to observe it, it's boring, it's endured, it's not delighted in. As you sit here today, how do you view the Lord's Day? Is it with great delight? Is it the best day of the week? Do you look forward to it with anticipation? This is the Lord's day. We're going to be in the house of God and worship Him. We're going to find more time today to spend with Christ, reading His word and praying and fellowshipping perhaps with other believers. It's a delight. Now, what happens? You see, we begin to see the reality of how God works in our own life to delight in those things that pertain to Him. We find joy. We find blessing. What a joy it is to be here with you this morning, to fellowship with you, to speak with you, to see you, to sing hymns of worship and praise. Corporate worship. Is it boring? Or does it fill your soul with great joy and gladness? You see, that's beginning to open up the key in terms of the sufficiency of Christ. Have you discovered it? Is it a reality? Or is it a matter of ho-hum, here we go again? How much longer is it? Isn't it amazing how fast the time passes when we're really, really engrossed and interested in what we're doing? Man, where did the time go? It's amazing. When I was attending regularly the pastors' conference at Trinity, Pastor Al Martin, some of you may be familiar with him. He preached often in his own church, an hour and a half. An hour and a half. Few people can do that. He's one of them. Why? Because he was ministering to the depths and the heart of the people. And the people sat there and soaked it up like a blotter. There's a difference. Well, the one thing that I think that we want to really focus on as we come to the table in a new and in a fresh way is this. What are your spiritual needs this morning, right now, before God? I proclaim to you, Christ is all sufficient to to meet that need. Whatever it is, whatever's going on in your life today, whether it's a wrestling with remaining sin, whether it's a battle with a preoccupation of the world, maybe an area of the neglecting of the means of grace, lack of personal discipline, Christ is all in all. Nothing insufficient in our Lord.